This is Queer Voices on KPFT, and this segment is called Queer Music Heritage. I'm J.D. Doyle, and I'm starting out this show by featuring several lesbian acts from the 70s, and I'm going to finish up with a special interview with Lucy Blue Tremblay, to whom fans of women's music will need no introduction. Opening the show was a song called Talking by the duo Jade and Sarsaparilla. That was also the title of their only album, released in 1976. Their names were really Janet Hood and Linda Langford. I found it interesting that while the album's songs were definitely directed towards women, with music written by Janet Hood, the lyrics were written by a man, a gay songwriter named Bill Russell. Russell and Janet Hood were writing partners well before Janet met Linda Langford, and the two of them formed Jade and Sarsaparilla. And as a footnote, while I know of no other recordings by either of them as performers, Janet Hood, continuing to write with Bill Russell, wrote a very successful AIDS musical in the late 80s called Elegies for Angels, Punks, and Raging Queens. Oh, and a bit of trivia about their name. Neither one of them was Jade or Sarsaparilla. That was just the name of the duo. One of the earliest albums with a lesbian presence by a group came out in 1978, and the name of the album was Quiet Thunder. The name of the group was, bear with me, Izquierda, which in Spanish means left. Lead vocals were by Naomi Little Bear Martinez, and in a way, if you're a longtime listener, you've heard her on Queer Music Heritage before. When I did my tribute show to Maxine Feldman, I played Maxine's song Angry Athos. That 45 RPM record was the first openly lesbian recording, and singing backups on it was a duo called Sisterhood, who were Robin Flower and Naomi Little Bear. Anyway, Naomi Little Bear later became known as Naomi Little Bear Morena, who for decades has been a prominent writer, speaker, and social activist. One of her more famous quotes is that to her, complacency is a far more dangerous attitude than outrage. But that's enough talk. From the group Izquierda, let's enjoy their song, Special Friend.
How glad I am that you're my friend. There's a difference in the love we share, and in the ways we know, and in the ways we touch and grow. You teach me how to love myself and be a friend to me and you. Here's a song, but tell me, is there any more that I can do like you've done for me? Oh, I'm glad. I'm so glad that you're a woman. That you're a woman. I'm so glad that you're a woman.
One further note about that group. Another of its members, Kristen Aspin, also went further with her music, but in a more classical vein, as a musician and composer, as part of the duo Musica Femina with her partner, Jana McAuslin. Up next are two short songs by lesbian feminist songwriter Carol Etzler. The first one is from her 1976 album, Sometimes I Wish, and is called Women Loving Women.
Women loving women, caring about other women, the most beautiful sight I think I will ever see is women loving women, caring about other women, loving each other, helping each other to be free.
Listen to the silent sound of crying.
listening has helped to make me whole. Sister, you understood before I even spoke the story that lay deep inside of me. Listening has helped to set me free, and your listening has helped to set me free.
And the second song I played by Carol Etzler was called Before I Even Spoke, and it came out in 1978 on her album Woman River Flowing On. Many Houston listeners may be more interested to know that singing backups on that last song was Carolyn Mobley, who later became associate pastor of the MCC Church in Houston. I've scanned some photos of her from the album liner notes, so you'll be able to see what she looked like some 28 years ago. And you'll be able to do that at my website. If you visit it while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of the artists and recordings. I've always considered our music history as a visual as well as an audio experience. Again, that's at www.queermusicheritage.com. Also, for more very queer programming, please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Friday night, Saturday morning from 1 to 4 a.m. on KPFT Houston. It's queer radio with attitude.
Bonjour, ici Lucie Bleu-Tremblay, and you are listening to Queer Music Heritage.
I've long loved the music of Lucie Bleu-Tremblay. But last November was the first chance I've had to actually see her perform. She was in Houston for a very special reason, doing a concert and fundraiser for the Breast Exam Project, and she'll tell us about that a little later. She's French-Canadian and has been writing and performing her music in the U.S. and Canada since 1986. I think her music is the kind that just nestles in your heart. And another reason I appreciate her music is that right from her first album, she's not shied away from singing about gay and lesbian topics. Her sixth and latest CD is called It's Got to Be About Love, and it's almost like a greatest hits album. It's got some of her most favorite songs, and some of them are presented in a concert setting. Please tell me about the new album.
Well, let me see. The new album for me was like, I was trying to find a way to take the songs that I had written pertaining to the community and put them all in one to make it kind of a GLBT power bar, you know. And you know how they have late at night, you'll see CD ads of, love's themes, songs from the 70s or whatever. Well, this is songs inspired from the GLBT community, you know. And it was just a kind of a political thing I wanted to do. I just wanted the music to be out there in a strengthening way. And I think that the people that have that CD, it's like a wedding album when you open it up. It's about our community. So when I wrote to my mailing list, I asked if people wanted to send pictures of themselves as couples so that we could see, put faces on who the community is. And so that's when you open this CD insert, it's like a wedding album.
I particularly like the neighborhood song.
Yeah, and that song is a celebration because you know how for the longest times a lot of us haven't come out because we're afraid of how people are going to react. And all along, those people that care about you have known all along. You know, it's just like, oh, really? Like, they're not surprised. And so that song, the neighborhood song, is a little bit of a testimony of how far we've come from all our courage and of being out, that a straight person can come knocking at the door and saying, well, guess what? You know, there's a lesbian living just across the street from you and this and that, and without blinking an eye. And that's incredible when you think of how far we've come. And we've come that far is because of really courageous people that have been out there risking everything to be out there and to let us know that it's okay to be out. Because the more people get to know us, the more, well, the barriers come down and they realize that it's all about love.
Bumper stickers facing out. The living room filled with boxes. There was a sudden knock on the door. And it was a big man with a little girl and a puppy. And I answered the door. And he said, "Did you know that there's a lesbian living just across the street from you? And she's adopted 3 children. And just around the corner is Robin and Kelly. And they have 5 children. And then there's CG and Shari over there. And they have 3 children." "Welcome in our neighborhood," he said. "Welcome in our neighborhood. A little dirt.
What song that you've written are you the most proud?
Of which song am I most proud? I don't really think that I could point to one specific song, because every song is important. It's almost like, you know, like all the people that you meet in your life, all the lovers you've had in your life, everybody's had a specific reason why they were there in your life, and that's why you become who you are, is because of the people around you. And I think that the songs are the same way. They all have such an important purpose. Sometimes people make CDs and they have some songs that are, those are going to be the hit songs. Like in mainstream music, you look at that and go, okay, well, these are the hit songs and these are kind of the dead songs. And I don't really produce that way. So I don't make music from a commercial point of view, which is probably why I'm an independent. And I like it that way. But I think that every song is different. I have sometimes some songs that are like favorites. And then as I'm going through something else in my life, other songs become the favorite songs. But they all have purpose, and I can't really point to one in specific. The only thing I could tell you is that there's one song that keeps coming back over and over again in my career from my audiences, and that's "So Lucky." That would be like the song that everybody asks over and over again. So that's one of the reasons why I re-recorded the newer version, the mature version, because that was in 1986. So I just recorded "It's So Lucky" on the new CD. It's got to be about love. But besides that, I really have to say that they all stand on their own and they all have a purpose.
I want to say thank you, and mostly a great big thank you for all the support throughout the years. This is one of my favorite love songs, and I can't think of a better way to start a grand engagement concert. So lucky that I should be in love with someone like you. No one makes me feel the way you do. You're making my dreams come true. It's so lovely, and I can tell just by your smile and in your eyes that keep my heart so warm, like you do. I'm rising in love with you. And don't be afraid, I won't go away, 'cause I've got a reason to stay. I love you, and if nothing else seems right, we've been trying for so long. How could it be wrong? How could it be wrong? I love you. Nothing else seems right, I know you love me too. We've been trying for so long, how could it be wrong? How could it be wrong?
Tell me about the song, So Lucky.
Well, I guess So Lucky was a song that I wrote not too long into my coming out process, my own personal coming out process. And I wrote it in, well, with, you know, all the verses and the way the bridges are, probably 10 minutes. Yeah, because it took a while to get some things down. But I pretty much spit it out. And it said it all. I didn't have to go back and rewrite words or anything like that. I pretty much wrote it in 10 minutes, and I've been singing the same 10 minutes of writing ever since.
Did you release it on a 45?
Mm-hmm. I released it on a 45 in 1982, and I really wanted to make an album, and I didn't really know how to do it, how to do that. So my first attempt was, well, let's do a 45. So my sister at that point said, well, you know, we'll go in a studio and, you know, we'll do it. And lent me my first little amount of money to make a 45. So I did it and I learned a lot. You know, it was my first experience. Everybody was telling me what to do, which was fine because I didn't know what I was doing. But it didn't take long for me to get that I had to know more. It was the first experience with a lot of, you know, guys were like, okay, we'll do this song for you. We'll arrange it. We'll do this, that. And so, you know, when it came out, it was like, I was really proud of it and, you know, sold it for a little while. And then we finally made the first album and got a chance to redo So Lucky the way I really wanted to do it.
What was on the other side of it?
It was a song called La Freak, which means the freak. It was a fun song. It was kind of an up-tempo song. It was kind of funny that the Mush song was the side, was supposed to be side one, and the Freak was going to be side two. And then I didn't like the one and two, so I did a face A and face B instead, just to be different.
And that song hasn't appeared on an album.
Mm-mm. Nah. I mean, it's the arranging for that has such a... feel to it. I just never, I knew I could never do that rendition in concert, so why bother? It was too much.
So many of your songs are about being in love, and they are like a gift to those who are.
Thank you.
That wasn't a question, but it just came to me while preparing for this interview. The song So Lucky was Lucy's first 45 and was on her first album, which was simply called Lucy Blue Tremblay, from 1986. I'm going to stick with that album for my next question. From your first album, please tell me about the song Mademoiselle.
Well, Mademoiselle was a song that I wrote after, stumbling and through my first Michigan Women's Music Festival. And... it's just so overwhelming. And that's really something that when you go to the first Michigan Women's Festival, for me, it was very overwhelming. It was so organized to see women building stages and climbing up in the lighting towers and doing sound and incredible saxophone players and drummers and, having music born inside me. I was like, I couldn't believe all that I was seeing. And so I was on overwhelm most of the time. So I wrote that song on overwhelm.
Some of the lyrics are very specific. You almost have to know about a festival to understand the lyrics, like walking around in chemical free and red armbands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that year the red armbands were actually passed out to the women that were bilingual, but mostly the women that were of French background. So it was just, just so that we knew who we were. That's why they were handing those things out. And so I had my red armband, and, in Michigan they have a section of the audience when you're watching the concerts that's chemical-free, so you can be sitting in an area. If you don't smoke, you don't have to be around people that smoke cigarettes or whatever else they're smoking. And, so there's all different sections in the audience, so you can actually go sit where you're comfortable.
Mademoiselle, mademoiselle, can't you see? Would you come home with me to Quebec City? The shooting stars have left us so free. On the night that we met up in chemical free. Walking on the land with my red armband, smiling till my cheeks got so sore. I was alone till you held my hand. Don't wanna go home no more. Mademoiselle, mademoiselle, ma jolie, may I go home with you to California? This magic is more than I thought it could be. Oh, it's just so womanly. Sitting by the fire, we couldn't get much higher. I sang to you and you sang to me. It was oh so beautiful, you gave so easily. I wanna see you again, mademoiselle, mademoiselle, mon ami. May I go play for you in Cincinnati? When I look in your eyes, love is all that I see. Oh, woman, you move me. We we stood by the stage, and the tears, they just started to flow. You took me in your arms, and we let all the love overflow. Mademoiselle, mademoiselle, can't you see? Would you come home with me to Quebec City? This magic is more than I thought it could be. Oh, it's just so womanly.
Even before she recorded her first album, she appeared on the album Michigan Live 85, which was recorded at the 10th Annual Michigan Women's Music Festival. On the album Michigan Live 85, you sang a gorgeous duet with Farron. Would you please tell me about it?
Well, yeah, that was my first performance. It was the first time I was invited to perform at the Michigan Festival that year. And so I was playing at the day stage. And I knew Farron from before, and I had translated her song in French, done a French adaptation, and recorded it. It was called, in English, Ain't Life a Brook. And so, you know, when we saw each other, we were talking with her manager and partner at the time, and thought, you know, it would be nice to do this in French and English. And so we did that on the main stage, and it was quite an experience.
For all of you who are falling in love this weekend, and for the rest of you who are falling out,
je regarde en pensant que notre amour est fort. À cet instant, tu me jettes un regard. Je sais que bientôt tu me diras au revoir. Puis ça me dérange, car je pense du fond de mon cœur que dans la vie il y a des hauts et des bas, des choses qui sont et d'autres qui ne sont pas. Tu dis que tu espères que je ne sois pas le genre à te faire de la peine et laisser traîner ce qui est terminé. Tu m'as donné les meubles, les photos, les as séparés. On est allé au restaurant prendre une bière tout en parlant de nos belles années.
And when first you left, I stayed so sad I wouldn't sleep. I know that love's a gift. I thought yours was mine and something that I could keep. Now I realize time is not the only compromise. A bird in the hand could be an all-night stand between a blazing fire and a pocket of skies. And so I hope I'm not the kind to make you feel obliged to go, taking through your time with a pain look in your eyes. I cover the furniture, I frame the photographs. Went out to dinner one more time, had myself a bottle of wine and a couple of laughs.
Lucy's first three albums were on the Olivia label, the premier label of the women's music movement. And from the third one, Transformations, from 1992, it seemed like the song Sailing Away could have been written for the Olivia Cruise Lines.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't commissioned to do it, but I was very excited about what Olivia was doing. And I was actually flying to one of their cruises. And I was inspired to write a song. I wrote it in the plane. Before we landed, it was written.
I'm gonna sail away, sail away, sail away. Tell everyone I'm gone to play.
I'm gone sailing with Olivia. I'm gonna sail away, sail away, sail away. Tell everyone I'm gone to play. I'm gone sailing with Olivia.
From your fourth album, I'm Ready, please tell me about the title track.
You have some very good questions. I can tell you have been listening attentively to my music because you're asking good questions. Wow, that's very nice. I'm Ready is more about the reality of love. If you notice throughout my CDs, just like any songwriter, there's a growth, a personal growth that everybody goes through. And it's just that mine's reflected in my music, and some people, you know, you don't really know what they're going through in their lives, but mine's kind of public. So, and I'm Ready would be one of those CDs about personal growth and about, you know, seeing that, you know, relationships are work and that they're good, but that, you know, you got to be ready for every part of what that means, whether it's facing, you know, outside bigotry or relationship problems, whatever it is, you know, I'm ready to take it on. It's a very significant album for me after Transformations. You can tell by the titles where the CDs go from, you know. You know, the first one was self-titled, but then the second one was Tendresse. Then the third one was Transformations. So I'm Ready is kind of like, okay, I've done some homework, I've read some good books, and I've learned some lessons, and I'm going to apply them in my life, and therefore in the music, you know. It's just, and what's really interesting is that I'm just a normal person, just like everybody else. And so when I write songs that talk about life, everybody else is growing at the same time. So we're all relating. So I'm just writing other people's music, really.
You had some notable help on that song.
I did. I sent Tret some tapes, and she added the guitar and vocals, and Chris Williamson did some vocals on there. And I did my first attempt at drum programming, and I had a good time.
We can sail forever, the true of the moon and back again. We can say anything we like, as long as we feel alright. We can struggle to a legally married. We can move into the suburbs and drop out of sight. We can make love and we can fight. Whatever happens, don't you know that I'm ready? I'm ready.
Travel from money.
from that same album, could you talk about the song If You've Ever Loved?
Here's a wonderful songwriter, Kathleen Hannon, who's from North Carolina. I went to a women's festival at Camp Pleiades in North Carolina, and I hear Kathleen Hannon playing this song, and I just lost it. I just, you know, just swelled up in tears. And after the show, I went to her and I asked her if there was any chance that I could play that song in concert to share it with people, because, you know, it's just such a beautiful song. And she said, well, I don't know, because I'm going to record it soon. And so I don't know. And I said, well, I can really take this song to many people. I promise I'll play it in so many places that it'll be heard. Her friends talked to her afterwards, and they told her that she should say yes. But she was good enough to do that. She sent me a FedEx package with the lyrics. And then I went and I did my own version of it. So if you listen to the string section at the very beginning, it's actually a string section that I arranged to I Hope They Call Me on a Mission, which is a Mormon church song. And since it talks about Salt Lake City, I wanted it to start off in a, you know, tabernacle environment.
John lives in Salt Lake City. Provo is his hometown. And lately John can't seem to find a reason to go down. His dad won't speak his name. His mother says the devil's got his soul. But Christ said only one thing makes us whole. It's love that sets us free. Love won't bring John home. Love needs friends and family. Love does not thrive alone. But if you listen with your heart, you'll understand. If you've ever loved a woman, if you've ever loved a man, I have heard truth spoken. Said in my church, in my school, in my home, everyone I knew said my love was a crime. But inside I have always known God blessed this love of mine, 'cause love has set me free. Love has always been my home. I found friends and family. I do not live alone. If you listen with your heart, you'll understand. If you've ever loved a woman, if you've ever loved a man. Now Christ spoke of love. Everyone, that's really all he said. And he terrified the mighty. They did not rest till he was dead. But you say Jesus lives for you. I say it's a shame. Can't you see love flows through everyone the same? You think that God speaks only, you think that God speaks only to you. Well, God speaks to me too. And love can set us free. Love can bring us all home. Love makes friends and family. Love does not thrive alone. Heart, you understand.
If you've ever loved a woman, if you've ever loved a man, if you've ever loved a woman, if you've ever loved a man.
I would love to hear about the song I Want You to Know Who I Really Am.
Well, that song actually came out years ago as a cassette. It was called The Coming Out Kit. And I just thought, you know, how sometimes stressful it is to come out to people. And I thought, wouldn't it be nice if you just had a little button you could press on and go, eh, and you were out and you didn't have to deal with any of the questions, the attitudes, the facial expressions, the body language, you know, everything that comes with that. I just thought, wouldn't it be nice if you just had a little beep, press on a button and you're out. Boom. And I thought, well, I'm going to write a song, coming out song, and I'm going to put it on a cassette, and then people can just send a cassette to their family. They don't have to just put it in the mail. They don't have to deal with anything, and have some blank lines in the cassette liner so you can write a note to the person you're sending it to. And it had some 1-800 numbers as well, for the National Coming Out Day people, and also the Washington, D.C. address for PFLAG. And I just thought this would be just a little helpful tool. And I made a bunch of them. I probably made like 1,000 of them. And I sold them, and people just started, you know, really mailing those out. And it was very, very cool. It was a very different arrangement than the one on this album. And the reason is that when I wrote this song, I actually wrote, "And if you love me as much as I love you, then you'll love me even if I'm not like you." That was the thinking in those years when I wrote it. When I made this arrangement, which is a more of a hip-hop kind of a bit of a groove song to it, it was a really good opportunity for me to change the lyrics to, "And if you love me as much as I love you, then you'll love me even if you think I'm not like you." So it was a really good opportunity to do that, and I really like that song.
Thank you.
How do you think your music's changed over the course of your 6 albums?
I think that I know a little more from a musical perspective, from a production perspective. I'm more sure of myself. I know what I want. You know, if I can't work in a certain studio or under certain circumstances, then I will go to where I'm at my best. I don't know. I hope that I've become a better person. I think I have, but and a more useful person. It's the music isn't so much about me. At the beginning, my first album, I had all these songs, and I was really excited because I got to make a CD or an album, and it was more me oriented. And I think through the years, as I've matured, I've realized how little I am in the big picture. And that makes such a difference in how I write and how I treat people and how I sing to people. And that's the big difference. And so I feel really good about that.
At this point, I'm going to share with you a song I didn't get a chance to ask Lucy about, but I really like it. It was originally from her 2001 album, Because of You. But this is the live version from her latest album with the intro, and is called Mrs. Klein.
And she says, "Dear Miss Tremblay, I hear you're a wonderful woman and that your intentions are good. But don't you think that selling both your homes after only 2 weeks is a little premature? I disconnected my computer so fast. And because it was Mother's Day, I went and I wrote this song really fast. It took me 10 minutes. And then I burnt it on a CD, and I FedExed it to her, because it's a verb now. And this was my reply. And before I go on, I just want to mention that she's here tonight.
Mrs. Klein, I love your daughter. I want to love her until the end of time. You know a love like this cannot be swept aside. We can't explain it and choose to live it. Every time I see her smiling, there's no denying my heart beats out of time. All this joy has entered into our lives. We've learned our lessons well, and everyone can tell. She's a special one. We'll take care of this blessed love and be thankful and grateful. This morning, love.
would you please tell me about the breast exam project?
Oh, would I? I would love to. The breast exam project, first of all, it's really important that you go to your desk and get a pen and a paper and write this down right away. I'll wait for you. Dung, 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 dung. Are you getting it? Dung, 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 dung. Run, hurry up. Dung, 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 dung. Okay, so the address is www.thebreastexamproject.org. That's the first thing, because if ever I don't say everything that I need to say about this, you'll be able to see great pictures. We're basically traveling around the country doing breast cancer awareness, doing concerts, and we're producing a DVD on how to do the breast exam. And I'm actually singing the directions. So I sing the directions in French and English and Spanish and Italian, and the rest will be subtitled. We're really encouraging men and women. And the reason why I say that is because men are now also being more diagnosed with breast cancer, and a lot of men don't know this. So we're actually producing a DVD with the self-breast exam, and it's going to have the 12 sets of breasts, of real breasts, on video, so people can see how to do it. And it's a little bit like the ABC, you know how you sang the ABC, and that's how you learned, you know, that A comes before B and that D comes after C, is because when you sang it, there was the order, so you knew the order. I feel like if I sing the directions to the self-breast exam, then you'll always start the same way and finish on this on the same breast every time. But by doing that from month to month, if there's any changes, or if you notice a lump or anything, you'll notice right away, because you started to do your breast exam exactly at the same place as you did the month before. So it's a package with information as well, interviews with healthcare professionals, and interviews with men and women who've had breast cancer, interviews with people who found lumps and they were benign. And it's basically an informational package. It's going to be available on our website as well as on DVD. And we're going to go for the next 3 years to different sports events and music events. And we're going to be giving away the DVD everywhere we go.
Well, I'm down to the last song, but before I get to it, I want to thank you all for listening, and I want to especially thank Lucy Blue Tremblay for the wonderful interview. And, as I had expected, the interview was so good that I could not fit all of it into the radio version of this show, so my internet listeners could hear an extended version with a lot more comments and additional music. That, of course, can be found at www.queermusicheritage.com. And as always, if you have questions or comments about any of the music I've featured, please write me at qmheritage@aol.com. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT Houston. Lucy, please tell us about your latest album's title track, It's Got to Be About Love.
Well, that's my coming out song. Because I've always felt that way. I've always, you know, thought inside. I've had that granola crunch attitude, you know, that that's what it's about. And I think that only in the last few years have I realized how important it is to express that. It's one thing to think it, and it's another thing to say it, because, oh, you know, at first I thought, oh, people are going to hear this. It's got to be about love, la, 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 la. And I just thought, you know, yeah, right. And, well, you know, that's really what it's about. And, you know, when you come through a lot of challenges and you see a lot of people you love go through health challenges and everything, you really realize that it's not about the money. It's not about fame. It's not about how many parties you have. It's not about any of that. It's really about love. That's really all it is. And it was just really important to put it out, and I figured the people that can relate will relate to this song.
It's got to be about love. More than the morning needs the light. More than the love light in your eyes, there must be more, there must be more.
it's just got to be about love. It's not about who you know. It's not about what you drive. It's not about best in show. The words inside, it's got to be more than the morning needs the light, and more than love light in your eyes. Oh, there must be more, there must be more. It's just got to be about love. About trying to impress. So what if he wears a dress? It's not about playing games that drive you crazy. It's got to be just got to be about love. It's not about what you've got. It's not about being so lucky. It's not about being right or who's got money. And it's not about who you pray to. It's not about guns and war. It's not what life is for. You want to sing with me? It's got to be about love. More than there must be more, there must be more. Let there be love. Is God.